grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Way back in 1979, I had a chance to go to the Holy Land. President Carter had signed a peace treaty with Israel and Egypt. It's called the Camp David Accords, and my submarine just happened to be in the Mediterranean Sea, so we were ordered to go to Ashdod, Israel, and show the flag. Now, if you were a taxpayer in 1979, thank you so very much. I got your money's worth. I'll show you a few pictures here if we can get them to work. Okay, that is the Mount of Olives Hotel. I'm not in any of these pictures, so I'm not going to embarrass myself. Right next to that hotel on the Mount of Olives is a place called the Chapel of the Ascension, where Jesus ascended into heaven. And if you can show the next picture, you can see the sign Souvenirs. By 1979, the Mount of Olives had become just one more tourist trap devoted to selling more souvenirs than to giving pilgrims an opportunity to worship Jesus Christ. And finally, the third picture, you could even get a camel ride. And that's not me, but I didn't buy any souvenirs and I didn't get a camel ride, but I did get a chance to go to the Chapel of the Ascension and see what it was all about. So that's it for the pictures. Now, I wish I had known more Bible history when I was 21 years old, but it is what it is. I think I would have gotten a lot more out of that trip. But one thing I did on the Mount of Olives was I went to that Chapel of the Ascension, which was right next to the hotel. We were now allowed to take pictures. Otherwise, I would have had pictures of it. But on the ground in the Mount of Olives Hotel, next to the Mount of Olives, on the ground is a stone. And that stone was said to have the final footprint on earth of Jesus Christ. And over the decades and centuries, people had rubbed it so that it looked to me like it was just another smooth, shiny stone in the ground. Maybe that's where Jesus went up. Maybe his footprint was on that stone. Maybe it wasn't. Now, of course, souvenir shops, camel rides, and a stone in the ground are not going to tell you anything about Jesus and his ascension. You need the Bible for that. And St. Luke writes about our Lord's ascension in both his gospel and in the book of Acts, which we're read today. Luke takes you to Bethany, a little town on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, presumably where that hotel was that I stayed at. Bethany was just a little village of about 100 people, but for Jesus, it was a home away from home. There, the sisters Mary and Martha lived with their brother Lazarus. And there, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There, Jesus taught about the future to his disciples. And there, he looked down on Jerusalem and he wept for it. I still have fond memories of standing on the Mount of Olives and looking down at the city of Jerusalem too. Of course, none of the buildings that Jesus saw were there in 1979. But it was still a breathtaking sight, nevertheless. And it saddens me to think that there's just so much violence going on there, even today. Our Missouri Synod has a missionary family in Israel, and they're spending a lot of time underground in a bunker. This missionary, Pastor Robert Rogner, is married to the daughter of Pastor Rudy Sandman. And if you remember Pastor Sandman, he was would occasionally preach when I couldn't be here. And he was the vacancy pastor many years ago before I got here. So, you know, we have a little connection to a missionary that's currently in a bomb shelter because of the violence in Israel. Now, heaven is called the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And Bethany on the Mount of Olives overlooks the city. So it's only fitting that Jesus would ascend from a place he held so dear. But you got to remember, our Lord did not just sneak off and vanish into thin air. He ascended in front of witnesses. But before he did, the disciples had some questions. Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Answer, no. You see, Jesus already taught them that Israel, as a physical nation, was no longer God's elect people. And he mentioned that in the parable of the great banquet. Remember how the king invited guests to the royal wedding, but they rejected the invitation? So street people and beggars were invited to come in their stead? See, Jesus was teaching that Israel had rejected God. In fact, Israel had been unfaithful for many, many centuries. The great prophet Elijah once lamented that he, Elijah, was the last believer left on earth. He wasn't. All the signs of God's promise to Israel were fulfilled, undeniably fulfilled, in Jesus Christ. All prophecies concerning Israel as a permanent nation had nothing to do with the political government. It had to do with Jesus Christ, the true Israel, the church, the true Israel. It's amazing that God kept his promise at all, how faithless his people were, but he did. The true Israel of prophecy is now the Christian church. Will Jesus restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, he told Pontius Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. Our Lord had no intention to restore a flawed, unfaithful, earthly kingdom. Instead, he commissioned his apostles to proclaim the perfect kingdom. He told them, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus wanted his church to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name all throughout the world. Now, the disciples barely had time to take it all in when our Lord was taken up from them into heaven. He may have come into this world humble and in ordinary circumstances, but he departed in triumphant glory. As one of our Easter hymns declares, "The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now." Now, how does all of this benefit you? Well, it does so this way. Ever since becoming one of us in the womb of the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ has been your brother. Jesus is your brother. He's one of us. As our Epiphany hymn says, Jesus is God in man made manifest. In both his divine and human nature, Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and the right hand is the place of highest honor. Now, in pagan religions, their gods have very little to do with people. Their mythology shows gods coming down to earth mostly for their own amusement and at your expense. Pagan deities crack the whip and make impossible demands. They have religious teachings that are totally absent of joy and only filled with dread and misery. But Christianity is not like the religions of this world. God loves you. He's not out to use you. He's out to save you from your sins so that you can be near and dear to him forever. Jesus opened the way for you also to ascend into heaven when your earthly pilgrimage is over. Our Savior didn't just go up to heaven in spirit and leave his body behind as if the human body, human beings, meant nothing to God. No, Jesus was crucified as a man, he rose from the dead as a man, and he ascended as a man. And as a man, you will see him again when he comes. Jesus cares about you and your body because he is your brother. He is not a distant, unapproachable spirit cut off from the reality of human existence, who left his body behind just as soon as he could. Not at all. He knows pain and suffering. And like you, he also shed tears. His Father is your Father, and his house is your house. And now in heaven, he intercedes. He pleads with the Father on your behalf. Jesus knows what it is to be harassed by Satan. So he prays that your faith will not fail you. He gives you his body and blood in Holy Communion to forgive your failures and strengthen your faith. Even though Jesus shares your human nature, though, there are differences between you and him. He is sinless, holy, and perfect, and you and I are not. Yet Jesus treats us as if we were. Jesus came into this world to fulfill all the demands of God's law. And having done that, he gives you the credit as if you had done it yourself. Jesus fulfilled the office of the Jewish high priest. Only the high priest could stand before the holiest place, the Ark of God, and the high priest wore a special vestment on his chest that had engraved the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, Jesus is your great and true high priest, and he ascended into an even holier place, and he took your name with him. Just because Jesus is now ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father does not mean that he's gone from your life, that he's nothing but a memory or a cheap tourist trap souvenir shop that I saw many years ago. Far from it. In just a moment, when you come to the Lord's table, you'll receive the real, present, crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. In Holy Communion, the right hand of God reaches down and delivers grace, mercy, and peace, forgiveness, life, and salvation. So may this remembrance of our Lord's ascension always be a blessing to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.